Father, I thank you that you are a God who is not absent and distant, but you are a God who is near. You are a God who cares for our every need. You are a God who knows every hair or the lack of on our heads. You are a God who looks after us and is there every moment of every day. And I thank you that you are a God who has not just spoken, but you are a God who is speaking and will continue to speak. And because of that, I thank you that we are part of a church that seeks to build on apostolic and prophetic foundations according to your word to bring you the most glory and to usher in your soon coming. We give you the glory. Amen. If you're visiting with us, or maybe you've been away on holiday for the last little while as well, you may not know that we've been going through a short series looking at some things that God has been speaking to us about as a church. And we've been looking at some prophetic input that God has given us, some significant words that we felt as a leadership team, and we've been sharing with the wider team and with you as a church, just some exciting things that God's put on our agenda, because they're on His agenda. And this morning, we're going to move on to look at another word that God has given us as a church, and I'll remind you and set a little bit of context for you, so let's see if this is going to work. So we're looking at a second word that God has given us, and the heart of it is it's a season of increased. Now you could say it should be increase, but it's increased what? Season of increased anointing. Of authority. And of visitations. And there's a prophetic word you'll see in a moment that God has given us that we're going to be looking at that these come out of. Now, I have the tricky bit of, someone said it's a bit like Star Wars, where you had three episodes and then quite a few years later you got the first episode. So this is a prequel, not the sequel, okay? Because I'm going to be looking at visitations this morning. But we had a prophetic word, and this is the context that that we've been looking at over the last little while. And just to remind you of that, it says, close your eyes, now open your eyes of faith and see what is not yet. God is taking us by the hand to lead us there. I saw four large waves behind each other with the largest at the back. The largest wave started to break over the next. The back wave was it's hard to read it up there, I'm sorry, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as it broke over the next wave, that started to break. That wave is repentance. The back wave then broke over the next wave, which itself started to break. That wave is healing and restoration. The back wave broke over the last wave. That is salvation. And the four waves end as a frothy pool of turbulence. And those four key things that we've been looking at over the last weeks: outpouring of the Holy Spirit, repentance, healing and restoration, and salvation. What glorious things and topics that God has been focusing us on and promising that this is coming for us. But then there's a word, there's a new season. This may be the first time that you've seen this prophetic word written out. There's a new season coming to you and coming quickly. It will be recognized by three main areas of simultaneous increase. The first is an increase of anointing. There will be an outpouring of anointing in healings, an anointing in worship and spirit activity, an anointing in prayer and tongues, an anointing in preaching, an anointing in proclaiming the gospel, an anointing in signs and wonders. Sound good? There will be an increase in authority, authority to seek the kingdom here and now, authority over the powers of the enemy, authority over the places you live, authority in prayer, authority to do even more than Jesus did. There will be an increase in visitation, visitations of the presence of Jesus, visitations in the fullness of the Spirit, visitations of the holy presence of the Father, and visitations of angelic beings. These visitations will usher in a season of holiness, worship, honor, repentance, and power. Now you might say, if you're visiting with us, are we not going to preach from Scripture? Yes, we're going to look for these in Scripture, because if these are not in Scripture, these are not from God. Are you happy with that? If these are not in Scripture, then they're rubbish. Because this is the Word of God. This is what we stand on. And if it can't be built on this foundation, it's not going to be built. But this is where I'm going to be coming from. I'm actually going to be coming from the last bit, the visitations. And I wrestled with that quite a bit as I was away. In fact, I got a lovely email from Simon because when I came back between Canada, he said, "How's your sermon prep coming?" And I said, "It's a tricky one." I said, "I've had lots of other things to distract my mind while I've been in Canada. And preaching on visitations is probably the trickier one of the three aspects of this prophetic word." He says, "Well, if it doesn't work, preach on anything you want." Oh, that was tempting. But as I began to think and to pray over this last week, and we were in the Lake District, and we did a lot of walking, and one day, because Carrie came with us as well, I just let sort of Chris and Carrie walk together, and I was a good 20 meters behind them, just thinking during the day. Every once in a while, I stopped and listened to their conversation. They were speaking in tongues. Actually, they were talking medical things, which to me is speaking in tongues. And, they were nattering on about things that, to be fair, I didn't even want to know about. So I was quite happy to wander behind and just quietly be putting together and thinking through these things. So let's see what comes of this. This is a verse that came to me, and I've read it through quite a few times. And it will come up here on the screen, but if you want to look it up as well. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Who is this? It's you, and it's me. This is not something of the future. It is not for someone else. It is for, just as was read out this morning, the elect, those who have been chosen by God. That's you, and that's me. "You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." That's your name, John. That's your name, John. Sybil, that's your name. You know, there's nothing more exciting than that. There's really nothing more exciting than that. And I look out here, and I know some of you who have lost a loved one, but they're gone to glory. I think of Frank. That's where he is right now, because his name was written in heaven. He's part of that throng. He's part of that. "You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." And as I was reading through that, you know, there was part of me that said, I want more of that now. We know there's a kingdom to come, and there's a kingdom now. There's things that will be in the future. There's things that we reap now. But this is what I was sitting there thinking. I want to come to that Mount Zion. I want to be there now. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. I want to come with a confidence before His throne. I want to come to this place now. I want to come and I want to experience thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. I want to know what that means. To the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. I want to see my name written there. You know, I want to see that. When I was back in Canada, one of the things that I often do, because my family live in a very small area, they all live within about 10 miles of each other. They did live further apart, but they've all moved back close together. And my parents' and my grandmother's graves are just near there in the town nearby. And every time I go back just to visit the graves and just be some time there, how do I recognize which is their graves? Their names are written there. Their names and their dates are written there. My name is written in heaven. There's a start date. Guess what? There's no end date. There's no end date. I found out something about my family I didn't know this time. I did a bit of math and found out that my grandmother actually lived longer in years than either my mom or my dad. She was of a harder generation, but yet she outlived them both as far as the amount of years that she was alive. Well, I don't have to worry about in the heavenly realm. My days on this earth are numbered, but in heavenly realms they're not. I come to God. You have come to God. Do you realize if that statement was in the Old Testament, that would be one of the most fearful statements that you could make? But this side of the cross, it's one of the most joyous. And if your faith, if your walk with God is not one of excitement, I have come to God. If that is not the most exciting statement you can make, you haven't really understood your salvation. We can come to Him. There's no condemnation. There's nothing that separates us from the love of God. Behold, all things are new. What a wonderful truth that we live in. To the spirits of the righteous, made perfect. You know, Humpty Dumpty put together, not just with lots of cracks and a few bits missing, but perfectly shaped, formed. A miracle upon miracle, a computer that works perfectly. That would be a miracle. We had that similar problem when we came back from Lake District, turned on our computer and all it did was beep at us. There's been times when I bleeped at it before, but it beeped at us. Took it apart, took a few bits out, stuck them back together. It's working fine. It'll probably die tomorrow, but it's working all right at the moment. But that, just keep that scripture in your mind. First part, anointing. Now, over the next 2 weeks, you will get a preach on anointing. You'll get a preach on authority. Okay? But we're going to, like I said, the prequel. But I wanted to set a bit of a scene for this as well. It says there'll be anointing and healing, sharing the gospel, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself, is that a desire that you have for the church corporately, for you individually? If it is, I'm going to ask you, church, to do something. Please do not come next Sunday morning unless you've come and have prayed for more anointing. How's that for a statement? One of the elders of the church telling you not to come to church. But if you're going to be here next Sunday morning, spend time this week asking for that. There'll be an anointing in worship. I've been to two different churches over the last 3 weeks, both of them in Canada, both of them very traditional in their style. Both of them love Jesus. They preach an evangelical gospel. They have very little understanding of things of the Spirit. We sang some nice songs. I didn't experience the anointing of the Spirit of God in those times of worship. But yet there was something here this morning. I was so glad to be home. I was so glad to be home. But there's more. There's more coming. In preaching, you can pray for that right now. I am so pleased that we're part of a church that has good and great preachers. And part of a group of churches who hold the Word of God up high. Some people say, you preach too long. How can you preach too long? The only reason that it's too long is because you set your oven too soon. I used to go to Romania and to a little Pentecostal church there. And communication, if you think communication is ever bad here, that was the epitome of poor communication. And you'd arrive at about 9:30 and there'd be a few people there, and 10:30 some more would come and a few would leave, and it was kind of a flow in and out. And I arrived there one time. I hadn't intended on being there on the Sunday, but things had just changed. Flights were slightly altered, and I was there on the Sunday. So we just went along. There's about six of us. We just went along to this little Pentecostal church. And when we arrived, the pastor came up and says, you preach. Well, I wasn't ready to preach. I hadn't come intending to preach. I'd just gone to church. So I thought, okay, I could share a few things. Well, then he got up and preached for about an hour. So I thought, oh, good, I'd only have to share a couple of things. So I got up and I just shared, you know, hello, it's lovely to be with you and God bless you and what a great preach and, you know, it's great to be back with you. And I was going to sit down. They go, no, you preach. And so I preached for about 10 minutes and then I was sort of thinking, well, that's probably enough because I'm looking at my watch. It's now 12:15. You know, that's when Christians turn into non-Christians and get angry with you when you're preaching. And then, no, you preach. And about an hour later, they finally let me sit down. At which point, they then pointed to the other fellow who was with me and said, you preach. And when he got finished, they pointed back at me and said, you preach again. It was heaven. But there will be an anointing in preaching. Look for it. Because it's not just does the preacher preach better, but are we changed as a people? Declaring Jesus as he wants us to. When the anointing of heaven is upon us, we declare Jesus in his way. The second part, the authority, to see his kingdom here and now over the enemy in our land and in our place. Authority in prayer to do even more than Jesus did. That's just tasters for the next couple of weeks. The third part, what I want to focus on today, visitations. Just take a moment. I'm not going to even ask you to call up, but just take a moment. If God said to you, there's going to be more visitations, what would you think? What would you expect? I'm not even going to ask you to call it out because I don't want you to tell me what I should have preached on this morning. But it's a strange thing, visitations. What does it mean by visitation? Well, I'm going to look at a few of those this morning. Yes, there'll be more of the Holy Spirit. If you're coming to this church and part of this church and looking forward to what God has for us in the next few months, there's going to be more of the Holy Spirit. This is God's promise to us. There'll be more of the Holy Spirit. But again, he does not work in a vacuum. He loves to pour his Spirit out onto a people who ask. Scripture says, how much more will I give of my Holy Spirit to those who ask? We need to be a people who are asking, not satisfied with good, but expecting great and pressing on to glorious. Prophetic words from the past. More of the Holy Spirit. If you're part of who we are, let's be expectant of an increase in visitations of the Holy Spirit. There'll be a release of power. Releases of power. Come expecting not only to receive, but to impart the power of the Holy Spirit. There'll be more conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Conviction to our hearts to be living more like Christ. Conviction of things that in our lives that we know we need to see changed. Things that we're saying, I'm living at this standard, but actually God's standard is here. I'm happy here. God is happy there. Help me. Conviction in the Old Testament brought condemnation. Conviction in the New Testament brings joy and release into all that God has for us. Because believe it or not, you may be living in a way that you think this is the happiest way to live. It's not quite God's way, but it's the happiest way. To live God's way will be the best way. So Holy Spirit, come. Put your finger on anything you want in my life. Put your finger on anything you want in my family's life, in my church's life. Bring that conviction, but bring with it the truth of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives and empowers us to be more like Jesus. That's the conviction of the New Testament. There will also be, I believe, there will be conviction of non-Christians, of those who have never turned and given their lives to Jesus. Maybe they've come along, maybe they've sat in church, maybe they've never gone to church, maybe they come regularly, maybe they come once in a while, maybe they're on the fringes, maybe they're the people that you've been praying for the last 10, 20, 30, 50 years. and still have not given their hearts to Jesus, be expectant. There's going to be an increase in conviction that brings salvation. There'll be more of the gifts of the Spirit. We had some prophetic words, some urging, some things that God's been stirring us this morning. That's what we're working through, is what God is doing. Are you expectant of more of the Spirit of God to move through you? See, it's all right to come along to a church that somebody else might bring a message, a prophetic word. Or somebody else might bring a tongue. Or someone else might bring an interpretation. Or someone else might pray for healing. But are you hungry that someone else is you? Because as the increase of the Holy Spirit comes, as the visitation of the Holy Spirit comes, it will not be the same people doing the same thing. We will need to put into practice some helpful guidelines in order to manage the move of the Spirit of God, which is biblical. When there was too many, they said, well, it's fine. Two or three can do this, two or three can do that, and then the church is blessed. And there'll be some Sundays when you will come and you'll have something that you feel God has given you, and it just won't be the right Sunday. Or there won't be the right time. Don't get upset and go away in a huff. Just say, thank you, God, I'm part of a church where you're speaking so much I couldn't get in. Instead of going to a church where God says nothing and everybody's satisfied because that's exactly what they were expecting. I'd rather have a group of dissatisfied people because there was so much that it couldn't be brought in than a group where there was nothing. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would God do that? I don't know, but the Bible says it happens. It says it happens. Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. I wish you all prophesied. So do I. He was a much greater man of God than I will ever be. Oh, that the gifts of the Spirit will be flowing like rivers. Flowing. Vast amounts. And why on a Sunday morning only? Why in that hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes do we try and cram the whole thing of the church and the Spirit of God and His gifts in? When we've got 24/7, that's what the gifts of the Spirit should be like. I'm going into work. I'm going into the shop. I'm waking up. I'm talking to my neighbor. I'm working with my kids. I'm talking with my husband. I'm visiting someone I don't like. I'm going to see someone who's unwell. I have to work alongside an enemy. That's when the gifts of the Spirit, really the rubber hits the road there. You know, I'll be bold enough to say it's easy for me to prophesy here on a Sunday morning. This is easy. Most of you like me. The longer you get to know me, the less you will. Maybe. But it's when we get to that place of an increase of the visitation of the Holy Spirit, where you're going to be spending your hours is where the Spirit of God is going to show up. I'm going to stop there because Anita, I know your life is going to be very different in a few weeks' time. If you don't know, Anita's stopped teaching. She's going to start training as a doctor. We've got a daughter who's taken a year out because she's been 7 years of, 8 years, 8 years of hard slog and that. But Anita, for such a time as this, you will come into contact with people that no one else here will. And there's an anointing coming of the gifts of the Spirit of God that's going to cause even your jaw to drop at times. If you're open to that. If you're hungry for that. See, that's what God's plan is for His church. try and show me in Scripture where Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12:15 is actually in here. You say we don't have traditions, we're a non-traditional church. Oh, yes, we are. How many of you arrived at 10:32? Think about that, because you always arrive a little bit late. But the chairs are out, and this is our tradition. Most of this is not in a building or in a meeting. Most of this is the Spirit of God out there. Are you ready for that? Worship and a visitation, more of the Holy Spirit in worship. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but being caught up in the realms of heaven. Just as we read in that Hebrews chapter, just this glory, this wonder, this amazing times of worship. If you think we've touched the heart of heaven in our worship, we have it times. But I'm expectant. Worship leaders, be prepared. Those who are in part of the worship bands, be prepared. But church, if you leave it to them, you've missed the message. Come expecting worship to rock heaven. Come expecting the place where we meet to be shaken. Come expecting there will be times where in worship we will not know what to do. This season is coming. I've already talked about it in everyday life. In everyday life. Increased visitations, more of Jesus. Well, isn't that what we've been talking about? Well, yes and no. Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes us into the presence of Jesus. But there will be an increase in the visitations of Jesus. Knowing He is here. Knowing and experiencing Him walking with us. How many of you know that those moments where you just know that you know that you know that Jesus is standing right there? There are those moments that you probably scribbled down somewhere in your Bible, or you wrote in your diary, or you've marked somewhere, and your mind goes to those moments. And they may not be many, but they are there. There's going to be an increase of those moments. Not just fleeting, but lasting. It may be when we're together. It may be when we're on. It may be in that moment of absolute fear or that moment of absolute joy. Or any time in between. But it's, what do you expect? Do I expect Jesus to walk with me? When I walk in back into the classroom, when I'm dealing with a child who's been unruly, when I'm trying to help a parent through a difficult time, when I'm working with a staff member, when someone says, can I just have a chat? Do I want them to meet with me or do I want them to meet with Jesus? The answer is both. But I want them to meet with me who's met with Jesus. Be more tangible, knowing and experiencing holiness. Something we don't talk about a lot, maybe we should talk about it more. Sometimes we're a bit afraid to talk about holiness because we think with our doctrine of grace that holiness can get us onto a bit of a digging up, digging into things that we shouldn't be digging into because it's all with grace. Well, it is. But yet there's a whole aspect of holiness that grace draws us to. Grace reaches into it, the very depths of our being, and pulls us into the presence of God and pulls us into that place of experiencing holiness. And when Jesus is standing beside us, the risen, exalted King of all kings, Lord of lords, His holiness and His righteousness, it is so tangible with us that we can't help but worship. we can't help but fall on our knees. We can't help but be excited about who we are in Christ. It can't help us but to be thinking of those heavenly thoughts. I want to be more like that. I want to be less like me and more like Him. I want to know more. What does it mean here, kingdom come? The holiness of Jesus. The presence of Jesus, tangibly knowing. In praise and in prayer, enthroning in the praise of His people. When we praise, which is more important? We've had a good time, or He has? See, if we've had a good time, but He hasn't, we haven't had a good time. If we've had a good time and He has, then we've got it right. And my prayer is that as we worship together, as we learn more about worship, we have not arrived in worship. We will arrive in worship where we could worship unending, forever and forever and forever, and never grow tired or weary of it. That's heavenly worship. That's what you read about in Hebrews at the beginning. But when we, in our praise and in our prayer, know that Jesus has enthroned Himself with us, we've got His attention and He's moved in to stay. He isn't just standing, peeping in the door, or making a little bit of a thought or gesture towards us, because He's excited about what He's experiencing with us. And He pours His Spirit out upon us in greater measure. And there's a beautiful cycle that just cycles up and cycles up and cycles up. This is more of Jesus, the visitation. Are you hungry for more visitations of Jesus? Is the desire for more visitations of the Holy Spirit? He is here moments. Can't move on. Mustn't move on. It's always tricky to make this next statement without it seeming like a demand. But we will need to learn as a people when to contribute, when to hold back. When to just let the worship flow, even though I've got prophetic things happening. Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God never stops speaking. We can always hear. But I believe there's going to be times when it would be wrong to let someone prophesy at that moment or to share their story. But there will be times when it's absolutely right. And we are going to need to know those moments. We're going to learn to grow together. Maybe sometimes we'll get it a little bit wrong. That's where grace and forgiveness comes in. But just like I say to my kids at school, I like it when they make mistakes because then they learn something. They get everything right. They probably haven't learned anything that day. They probably could have already done it. When they get something wrong, that's when you tend to learn the most. Now, I don't want us to get it wrong lots just so we can learn. There's other ways of learning as well. Better ways sometimes. But let's be looking for those moments. Increased visitations, more of the Father. Now, some of you might be out there saying, hang on, are you splitting up the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father? No, I'm not. But please, I think you know what I mean. There are times when we just know the Holy Spirit is pouring Himself out. There are times when that presence of Jesus is walking amongst us. There are going to be times, the holy moments of faith and fear. These are the moments when it'll be difficult not to be on your knees. These will be the moments when anything but praying in the Spirit doesn't quite cut it. These will be the moments where coming to this mic is not the thing to do. These are the moments where praying out is not the thing to do. But there'll be the moanings and the groanings of the Spirit of God. because the holiness and the fear of the Father has descended. Not to frighten us, but to bring us to that place of bended knee in worship and expectation. God is in this place moments, awesome moments, when to speak, share, sing, pray will be out of place. These will be the holy, holy, holy moments. You know, we read that scripture in Revelation where all the creatures around heaven are singing, holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine one of them just coming up to the mic in the middle of that and going, I just believe I've got a word. No. Or God's been speaking to me. No. Right then, it's you and you alone. We don't need words. We don't need songs. We don't even need a skilled pianist to continue to play in the background. It's just him and me, or him and us. Will this just be on a Sunday morning? No. In your private times, in your quiet times with God, be looking for those moments when just the fear and the faith of the Father show up. Increased visitations. This is not, I say this again, this is not on the same level as the Spirit, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as I was praying through this prophetic word, I did believe that God was speaking to us that there's going to be increased angelic visitations. It's something we don't teach much on. But it's surprising when you start going through the Old Testament and the New Testament how much there is about angelic beings. We never worship them. Never, ever, ever. We never take doctrine from them that is anything contrary to Scripture. Of course, if we have angelic visitations, they are going to follow the remits of Scripture. The Bible says if they teach anything but what's in Scripture, it's demonic. We never pray to them. They are not there as a substitute or an intermediary. They are beautiful beings of God's creation that reflect His glory and are there for a purpose. I'm going to run through these really, really quickly. This is where I was hoping to get to, but as usual, I've gone over time. Aware of their presence in worship. Angels love worship. In heaven, that's what they do 24/7. They love worship. I was listening. If you don't know who Wayne Grudem is, he's a systematic theologian who's written a great book called Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem. And it is an excellent look at all aspects of the doctrine of faith. Here's a little thing for those of you who are computer-wise. If you Google Wayne Grudem, you will find that there is a website that has every talk that he has done out of his systematic theology, going through it, and you can download and listen to it absolutely free. He is not a brilliant speaker, but he is very theologically sound. He says more often than I would expect him to say this, but he says, I don't know. It's not totally clear. Somehow that sits easy with me when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Because if it was totally clear and easy to understand, I think it could be the kingdom of man or the kingdom of earth. But Wayne Grudem says, are you aware of angelic presentations in your worship? When you worship God, angels are there. What difference does that make? I'll tell you, if they know how to worship, I want to see what they're doing. If their main purpose in creation was to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to see what they're up to. I want to get as excited about worship as they are. I want to have that as my thought, that there's a whole realm out there. Aware of their presence in everyday life. I want to know that they're not just there on a Sunday morning either. That they're around, that they're there to help us to guide us, to direct us. I've got lots of scriptures, which I haven't got time to read through now. If you want the scriptures that go with this, I'll happily provide you a photocopy with them afterwards. But aware of the presence in everyday life. They're there to strengthen us, to look after us, to care for us, to guide us. In Psalms, it talks about angels that are there to care and provide for us. Aware of their protection and their guarding. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that there are angels there that are actually there to protect us and to guard us? Think of Peter in prison. He's locked in prison. This is not a nice prison like we say we don't have nice prisons now. Compared to what prisons were like then, our prisons are 4 or 5 star. These were dark, cold, wet dungeons, locked away, little food, beaten, absolute squalor. This is where Peter was for his faith. This is an angel of the Lord came. And I love the next bit, and hit him because he was asleep. I love it. You think of angels, you know, glory, wonderful, you know, flying through the skies, glorifying God. What does the angel do? Gives him a right good kick, wakes him up. Shackles fall off, the prison doors fly open. Peter is so amazed by this, he thinks it's a dream. But yet he was set free. There are times when we need to be set free. Oh, some of the stories I read over the last few hours about angelic visitations, of protection, of Christians being in dire trouble, armies coming to get them, to kill them, and being turned back by mercenaries. Later they say, how did you ever get the money to hire those mercenaries? What mercenaries? You know, those huge guys that were in your garden? Angels. I jokingly said after I had my accident in January that there was an angel with a marshal-shaped bruise all over the front of him. I look at those pictures and maybe it's not a joke. You may well have been in those situations where you think, how did I not? And there's an angel in heaven saying, because that was my purpose. Visitations lift us as we join in heavenly worship. We already talked about that. But let's think of that verse in Hebrew. Thousands upon thousands. It said before the throne, there's thousands upon thousands of angels worshiping. I'd love to see that. I've seen when an angel's been moving. I've never seen an angel, but I've been with people who have. I've been in places where angels have been. I can't explain it all. There was a church not very far from us in Brighton. They were going through a time of just, it wasn't revival, but just the presence of God was there. And in one corner of that church, there was a presence of an angel. Some people said they could see it, some couldn't. Non-Christians would walk past that place and they would fall on their knees and begin worshiping Jesus. Explain it? I can't. But in that corner was an angel that was worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, let's begin to experience more of the visitation. Demonstrate God's kingdom and reign in our world. So much more that the Bible talks about. It talks about taking on the enemy, that angels take on the enemy of God. I don't understand it all, but I know that they do. It talks about angels being messengers. How did Mary know about the Immaculate Conception? Angels come and they provide for us. Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. How does he be restored? An angel comes and helps him and restores him. How does Philip know what he should do? An angel comes and speaks to him. How does Peter know to go to Cornelius? An angel in a dream comes and brings the revelation of God. And yet we have such a weak theology and understanding expectations sometimes. But let's raise that. Because I believe God has spoken, there will be more. Not that takes away from Jesus, but points us to Jesus. Not that does what the Holy Spirit is doing instead of the Holy Spirit, but augments that. Not that is greater in glory than the Father in no way, shape, or form, but brings us to the Father. Are you hungry for more? I believe God has spoken to us. That must be the end. There we go. God has spoken to us. He has told us that there's going to be an increase in anointing, an increase in authority, an increase in visitation. The prequel, the visitation, there's going to be more anointing and more authority. We need more visitation. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that even now as we come before you, will you help us to be a people who are ready and receptive for all that you have for us? You've spoken to us about the four waves, and we're looking for that. We're expectant of that. We're hungry for that. We want the waves of the Spirit of God to be crashing upon us. We want the repentance. We want the restoration. We want the salvation. We want it all to be coming, crashing down upon us. We want that frothy pool at the end that is full of then your visitations, that is full of your anointing, that is full of your authority. Not just so we have a good buzz in ourselves, but so we see the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, that we will come to this Mount Zion, not to that Mount Zion, but to this one, where you reign on high, where tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of angels are worshiping and rejoicing in you, where we have the Spirit that have been made righteous because of you, and you are glorified in and through our church. Build your church. Bring us into this next season hungry and ready for all that you have for us, and add to us and impact our world around us, that many will fall on their knees and say, God is in this place and we want to know him too. Amen.